You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Researchers at Oregon State University have developed and tested a new type of nanoparticle that enables the safe removal of melanoma tumors with a low-power laser. Here to help us learn more is Dr. Olena Taratula. She's a professor of pharmaceutics at Oregon State University and runs the Olena Taratula Lab in the College of Pharmacy. Welcome to the Exchange, Professor.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, before we get to your team's discovery, can you briefly tell us about the mission and work of the lab?
Yeah, so our main goal is to deliver specific drugs to the disease site. And for this, we need our nano drug delivery systems. So this is the main mission.
So your lab is known for focusing on what is known as nanomedicine. Tell me what that means in the context of treating disease.
So basically, in general, nanomedicine could be explained as application of nanosystems, nanoparticles for biomedical application. And nanoparticles is basically 10 to minus 9 meters. So you understand it's very tiny. You cannot see it by naked eyes. And that's why there are many different equipment, like different microscopes, to actually confirm the size, the shape, the structure of nanoparticles.
So you're working with microscopic particles in the treatment of disease.
Yeah, and we call them nanoparticles.
Okay, so your latest news is about skin cancer, but your lab also focuses on women's reproductive health. So tell me, how does your expertise in nanotechnology tie these two different medical fields together?
Yeah, thank you for this question. Initially, I did start to develop nanomedicine for cancer and also endometriosis. And now, that's how endometriosis became the gate to woman health. And now I also work with trying to manage ectopic pregnancy with nanomedicine. So the whole idea started that cancer is angiogenesis disease. So basically develop little tiny capillaries very quickly as it grows, because it grows very quickly. So it also applies to endometriosis disease and also to, let's say, ectopic pregnancy, because when placenta even develops in the wrong place, it actually started to grow very rapidly and developing all these new capillaries. And these capillaries, like, in simple word, to say that they are very hungry for any nutritions, and which applies to cancer as well as to, let's say, ectopic pregnancy. And so nanoparticles become this kind of source of nutrition, but which we can kind of trick the system and to deliver a specific cargo, you can say drug, that we want.
Okay, so tell me a little bit more about endometriosis. I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, so it's basically the very painful condition when the part of alignment of uterus grows on the top of it, and it's not natural, and it became very painful. It also can lead to infertility. This disease was also overlooked for a long time, and there is no really straightforward management or treatment. So that's why we're trying to find something like alternative methods to treat this disease as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you recently led a study published in Advanced Functional Materials regarding a new way to treat melanoma. Tell me, why is melanoma considered the deadliest form of cancer, and what makes it so difficult to treat with the current methods?
Yeah, so melanoma is very aggressive cancer, and sometimes you can see it, you know, visually because it's on the skin, but very often it's also hidden under the skin. So that's what makes it very difficult to treat, especially that it grows very rapidly. So our idea was like that systemic treatment might capture all, possible cancer sites, which are even hidden. That's why kind of systemic delivery of nanoparticles would make sense. But I think the main goal here was the type of alternative treatments that we developed.
So how is your treatment different from the current methods?
Yeah, so the classical treatment of any cancer, right, is chemotherapy and then surgery, or surgery and chemotherapy, radiation as well. So in our case, this particular case, we do work with a lot of different, treatment management, different therapies. But in this particular case, is photothermal therapy. What it means that we design nanoparticles, we develop nanoparticles that can capture light and transfer it into the heat to destroy the cancer tissue, or for instance, could be also applied to ectopic pregnancy or endometriosis at just within. We called it nano heaters, also, this kind of nickname.
So how did you discover these nanoparticles that capture heat?
Yeah, so this is all about design and properties of nanoparticles, and this is the major and big part of our research. We did start started it like maybe 10 years ago, first for cancer, then for endometriosis, and as I said, ectopic pregnancy. But the whole idea is the nature of nanoparticles. So you have to have inorganic component or organic component, which can capture light and be able to absorb light, and also be able to kind of release the energy after this in terms of heat, not in terms of fluorescence or any other processes. And that can happen. So in this case, we're talking about photothermal therapy when we capture light, but that can also happen when we capture magnetic energy. So magnetic field can also, depends on the nanoparticles, produce the heat in specific areas whenever we deliver nanoparticles.
And these are organic.
It could be organic or inorganic. For magnetic field, for magnetic hyperthermia, it has to be inorganic type, but for photothermal therapy, meaning converting light into the heat, it could be both. Some inorganic materials and some organic dyes also have these properties. And in our case, we actually combine them together, so we have outcomes that we can produce very high heat at very low light input. So this is kind of the key of this invention.
My guest is Dr. Elena Taratula, a professor of pharmaceutics at Oregon State University. She leads a team of researchers who discovered a new type of nanoparticle that enables the removal of melanoma tumors with a low-power laser. So, Professor, when did this discovery take place?
So I guess the main driving force was our Prem Sine postdoctoral scholar, and we discussed this idea, and it took us 2 years to basically come to the point when we could publish this work. And we also had the it's all takes village to raise a child, right? So we had also collaboration with Dr. Alani when they supplied for us mice orthotopic melanoma model, where we could actually taste selectivity of our approach.
Was OHSU involved?
So we are technically Oregon State University, but we work at OHSU research center, kind of collaborative research center, but there's a PSU, OSU, OHSU researchers in Portland. So it's called RLSB Center Building. That's where all the science is happening. And the best part of it, that we can communicate with clinicians from OHSU to get guidance on specific disease for any nanoparticles or nanosystem we are developing.
Okay, so that's good. Now, as you said, it takes a village to do everything, actually, in our world.
No, that's right.
But a big problem in using lasers to treat cancer has been this safety threshold for human skin. How did the previous therapies fall short, and how does your discovery overcome this risk?
Yeah, so this was the there are two main drawbacks using laser. At the initially was Yes, using a very just high power lasers to basically just burn tissue, right? If you know where it is. The whole idea of a kind of nanomedicine approach that you deliver nanoparticles to the site of disease and they're not toxic, then the heat only is produced when you have the light presence in combination with nanoparticles. But that light, think about this as laser pointer light right now. That's what we were able to develop, that you have the safe light, but if you combine with nanoparticles, the heat is produced and the tissue is basically, eradicated, the unwanted tissue.
So in your lab's tests using a mouse model for aggressive melanoma, what were the results after a single treatment with this low-power laser?
Yes, we did do only single treatment in this case. And so the model actually looked like you have the mouse and at the back, its back, there would be, so for instance, like six small or bigger tumors of melanoma, right? They look like black and nasty. And then we would select, let's say, three tumors. We would inject systemically, like intravenous injection, mice with our nanoparticles. And in 12 to 24 hours, we would then subject it to the light, the safe light, for 10 minutes. And then within a week, we already see the tumor kind of disappearing. And in all our treatment groups, the tumors were gone. And we monitored it for like a month or even 1.5 months, and tumor did not return.
Are you telling me that the tumors disappeared completely?
Yes, that's what we noticed because we did monitor it for like more than a month.
So,
within the animal studies, right? That probably will be done differently in clinical studies. But...
So tell me about the clinical studies. How does that work and where is that in the process?
So it is yet to come. So right now we did confirm our proof of concept in subcutaneous and also orthotopic melanoma models. It does work like 100% effectively, right? So the next thing would be just to confirm more safety in larger animals, and the obviously the human trials, which starts from safety and then small group for efficacy, and I guess it goes later to the bigger group of people.
So give me a sense of the timetable, because there are people with skin cancer now, and this might be very useful.
No, and I understand. We are kind of basically a translational scientist, so our goal, we develop something and we try to push it to clinics. So our goal is to push things to clinics. So I didn't have, honestly saying, the clinical trial by myself yet, and this is my goal. So I would say that depends on the circumstances, right, and the funding. But I think that might take several years for this to happen because all of the approval, FDA processes, and et cetera, just to make sure that it's safe, first of all, and then it's actually more effective than, or as effective or has more benefits than the current treatment in a clinic.
Well, that makes sense, but from a patient's perspective, how would this approach with lasers compare with traditional surgical procedures now?
Yeah, so very often, even classical chemotherapy and surgery, they do leave things behind, right? So you don't want to remove, the big chunk of skin. So you try to remove only whatever is kind of visible, available, but very often some little cancer cells or some little tumors are missed because they're not visible. And so that's what it kind of caused the melanoma to grow again, but it's also very aggressive. So it does cause the metastatic effect. So that's the problem. So we hope that with our targeted nanomedicine, we can capture almost each cancer cells, right? And, when we apply light, so the not even cancer cells, but also like cells around it, it could be like destroyed, to make sure that they do not come back. So that's our hope, and it seems to be working in mice.
Well, it's very exciting, but unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for your work, Professor.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and yeah, have a good day. Let's hope we will take it to the next level soon.
Absolutely. My guest was Dr. Elena Taratula. She's a professor of pharmaceutics at Oregon State University.